Welcome to the Triple Option, episode number... Oh, man. We only went on a one-game run there, and then we were out. A lot of that's on me, because I was out last week. I'm Kevin Dunn, alongside the All-American Rod Babers. And we got John Reichel, who is sitting in on a Bat Tuesday, excited to be playing some great 80s music, and maybe some even average 80s music. We don't have our MVP. Personal day for BK, Brad Kellner. We're not going to be doing the show tomorrow, so hopefully on Thursday, all three of us will be back to get to episode, I believe, 279. This thing has flown by.
Are you keeping up with those, bro? BK does. Only, I have no idea I really wish I could tell you. He says it every day, so I should actually be more considerate, but I have no idea what episode it is.
I almost tried to play you like a girlfriend, where you get something, you guess no something idea. Correctly, and they go, "You really knew our anniversary?" And you go, "Of course I did." No, I didn't. He said that yesterday.
So you were listening at least. Good
I was
for
listening
you.
Yesterday, I but I'm no not idea. Keeping up with it.
I'm glad
all.
He's keeping up with it because I can't do it.
I know.
It's very diligent of him.
I can't do it either. And there's you did no a good job.
That's like celebrating the half birthdays and the half anniversaries. We've been dating for 3 weeks.
Yeah,
so they bought you a gift before the 3 week anniversary. It's like, I can't do it.
You know who does do that? Our leadoff man. Chad Hastings.
Chad's an anniversary guy, but he knows all the anniversaries.
Chad knows the anniversaries of our other show.
Yeah.
When we stopped with BJ, then we started, then when I left, I thought, whoa.
Yeah.
I couldn't have given a year on
that. And that's a good thing. That means you actually are considerate.
Yeah.
You got something. You're like, oh, that's...
You're in the moment.
Yeah. And you keep
and you
up
remember
with
the
things.
Moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not... I can't do it.
Wow.
This brain only has space for so much... information and knowledge.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things I just have to disregard. I got the anniversaries now with my woman. I got to keep up with those.
Yeah.
I still don't know once you get married, which I am going to get married, do I still have to keep up with the dating anniversary thing that when we started to date officially? Or could I just disregard that? That's just done.
I hate to give this advice.
I'm not celebrating that.
Because you get this a lot as you get older. It wouldn't hurt.
No, I'm not celebrating you know, it. No,
it
it's too
hurt.
Many. It's
it
too many already.
I'm with you, Rod.
No, it's too many.
You're preaching to the choir, but no. It wouldn't hurt.
You know what women never celebrate? The first day you had sex? They don't want to celebrate that. Why we don't celebrate that? You want to celebrate the first day you kiss?
Or the first day of good sex.
The first day you kiss? Exactly. Your best sex. I remember the best
right.
sex.
How about then that
you,
day?
You keep changing the day. You're like, you know, babe, we changed it that day. I know it was
remember
July
that?
27th.
Remember that marathon day?
Now it's going to be September 23rd. It was amazing. I mean, seriously. You want to get into the anniversaries, ladies? Let's really get into it. The first day we kissed and the first day we officially went on a date. No, how about the first day we did everything?
Yeah.
All right. Those anniversaries. You don't want to celebrate that? No, you don't.
Yeah.
Because you got an agenda. Because you got an agenda.
And we
got
to celebrate it with having sex.
So, that's how we celebrate all the
should
anniversaries.
Should happen on all the anniversaries. It may not.
Yeah.
You get an early taste of what you get when you get Rod B and me. And, well, you get that with BK, too. I'm acting like BK is a choir,
he's not a saint. What do you mean?
He just remembers dates.
He's the dirtiest of them all. When he leaves, I got to get dirtier just
to
make up for his loss. So we still keep the R rating of the show.
I like Dirty Rod. Dirty Rod's got some Chris Rock in him.
Dirty Rod. I only got to come out when BK leaves because BK usually is the dirty minded one and he'll come up with all the dirty dad jokes.
But yeah.
When he leaves, I got to push
lame
it into,
ones too.
Exactly.
Which can sometimes be dirty. He'll be back, though, hopefully on Thursday and tomorrow. Like I said, we're going to have Texas baseball. Speaking of Texas baseball, we got to get to it, man, because the awards have been given out. When you have the type of year where you're ranked number two in some polls, in top five, in almost all of them, you're going to get a lot of love, and rightfully so, as Texas was co-champions of the Big 12. They did beat TCU 2 out of 3, so they will end up being the number one seed. So Texas fans are saying, hey, we won the conference for the 79th time in program history. That's pretty amazing. Also, Ty Madden's year, 2.55 ERA in 13 starts this year. I mentioned yesterday, struck out 98 batters and 81 in a third innings pitched.
Yeah.
And the league hit 201 off of him, Rod. He picks up Big 12 Pitcher of the Year. This was one of those that was not that big of a surprise. There are some good arms in the Big 12, but this guy's going to be a first-round pick for a reason.
Yeah, that's not a surprise. If you looked at all the accolades, I should say, that Texas accumulated on the All Big 12 team. They had four on the first team, which was the most since 2011. 13 players overall recognized, even including the honorable mention guys, and that's the most since 2005. So it's a team that's getting a lot of love for a lot of good reasons. And on that first team, you just talked about the Ty Madden, of course, pitcher of the year. But he joins Tristan Stevens, Mitchell Daly, and Ivan Melendez. Did we ever decide on a nickname as a family, as a Longhorn family?
I know the
Hispanic Titanic was out there.
That was out there, and I heard he was cool with that. And then I talked to someone who knows the family
Latino Bambino?
And said that he's more of a Latino Bambino.
Of course he is.
Which was mine, and I think yours too.
Latino,
that was our favorite.
It's just, it just rolls off the tongue. You know, so I don't know, whatever, but he's getting some love, and he deserves it too. Those are all the guys on the first team. Mitchell Daly, I don't know if he gets enough credit or he's getting enough credit this year, but what he's done in Big 12 play, hit .356 in Big 12 play with 31 hits, 12 RBIs, just a monster.
And he just does not look like a freshman. Rod, I've seen a lot of good freshmen play here at Texas over the years, and I was trying to go through it. There's not many that were as calm as he was. And you probably saw that with freshmen that
old
came
souls.
In.
They're old souls.
Old souls.
They're old souls,
and you
man.
Think,
I really
and you
know.
Go to, okay, he's got the four-star general dad in the Army. The mom swam at Army. He was raised that way. He's raised to be able to deal with stuff and to keep his emotions in check. And he did it all year. Mm-hmm. He was not a huge recruit coming out of Alabama. He was a good recruit, but not a huge
Talked
one.
Talked about that yesterday.
Right, and once he came in, you couldn't take him out of the lineup, but I thought, okay, like most freshmen, he's going to end up hitting about .280, and that's fine, and playing a good second base. No, he led the club in hitting, and you just gave the numbers in the Big 12. So when the pitching got better, it didn't matter. He continued to just play really, really consistent baseball, consistent at-bats, and he is the biggest surprise for me of all of them. Now, what surprised me with Melendez with his JUCO numbers, not a surprise that he ends up hitting the ball out of the ballpark, right? But that you hit over .330
in
Big 12 play, you do what he did. You know, he's actually a much better hitter than most JUCO power guys that come into the game. And I know he tailed off a little bit towards the end, but all of a sudden, you know, I was excited about this team, and I was excited about Mike Antico too, who ends up being a second teamer. Cam Williams, a second teamer. You would have told me Cam Williams would have been hitting what he's hitting. I wouldn't have taken that bet, and I knew this guy. I just know people that are in the program that he works his ass off, Rod. Mm. He works. He's a tireless
worker. You love to see those guys get rewarded.
You do.
Yeah.
And he got rewarded this year, and all of a sudden you throw in seven other Longhorns who picked up honorable mention recognition. Siler Sardouin, Trey Faltini, Pete Hansen, Doug Hodo, Aaron Nixon, Tanner Witt, Zach Zubia, who came back for another year. The pandemic helps out. Man, this could not have turned out any better than it did, especially after that first Monday, after the first weekend when we were talking about this team after getting their asses handed to them in Arlington. That was rough.
Yeah, after Snovet.
After Snovet.
And we still don't know how much Snovet played a role in those guys being distracted. We know it was a factor.
It definitely played a role.
We just don't know how much. But you can tell those guys, they went back to work. They really did. I mean, they started with the ultimate humility, starting 0-3. I'm sure the expectations were high, but it's crazy to say. I don't know if they're as good as they are now if they don't have the 0-3 start. It's weird to say
understand that.
Because of, you know what I mean, how they kind of went back to square one and they all recommitted themselves to the cause.
It brought them back down to earth, too.
Oh, every last one of them.
Yeah.
There's nobody who avoid. I mean, I'm sure we can go back and look and then maybe a couple of guys had good games. But I think overall as a team, it ultimately got them refocused. It crystallized their focus. And then they went back to game by game. There was no looking ahead after you start 0-3.
Yeah, right.
Like, before you start 0-3, you start these expectations. Okay, we're going to win the Big 12, go College World Series. You know, we got these really high expectations. You start 0-3. Oh, and I know it's against the best teams in the country. I mean, it was against, top 10 teams, of course. But after that, everybody goes back to focusing on day by day, game by game, practice by practice, getting better every day because you feel like you have disappointed and ultimately, I don't know, obviously the season is still alive, but I think they had disappointed themselves in how they played. So I think that it ended up being a blessing in disguise. Usually you can't say that.
I would go to that moment. I think you're exactly right. That moment to start the season off, bring them back down to earth, have to reset things, and then go from there. And then also the Kansas State game, that Friday game, where you're going to have guys that are out for the rest of the Friday game and Saturday. You're still in the thick of conference play, and other guys stepped up, and they end up blowing K-State out. And K-State's not fantastic. I understand that, but that was a weird position. At the time, I thought this could go either way, where we look back at this and think, man, they lost two out of three, and that's what cost them the conference, cost them a top eight seed, whatever that is. But no, they just continued to be, what, resilient.
Yeah, and ironically, the reason, and you point to that as a turning point, the reason that Texas had to deal with these suspended players was because of Chris Sabalos,
yeah,
the catcher, who, you know, got in, you know, the start of an altercation between the two teams. He's also the guy that hits the walk-off home run against TCU. And
why
he's the reason
the
he got a share of the conference title.
So. I know.
There you go.
That's baseball. That's baseball to a T.
It's beautiful.
Baseball comes around like
that's
that.
That's amazing.
And hits you.
Yeah.
So we mentioned the guys who made first and second team and the honor roll mention guys.
I thought Pete Hansen should have got more love, but I haven't looked at the second team, so I'm not saying that they you know, he got snubbed or anything. But
I agree, but think about a lot of his starts. They weren't in conference play.
That's very true.
You know? So he even late, he was still pitching on Tuesday. If they would have bumped that up, I think Pete would have been probably at least a second teamer. But I have to give a lot of love to David Pierce, who ends up picking up his second Big 12 coaching Coach of the Year honor. Yeah, second time in five seasons, and he deserves it. I think what Tadlock did with the injuries was really impressive at Texas Tech. But David Pierce deserves this, and he's got this thing moving in the right direction. There's going to be, as I've talked about, people are going to be hypercritical with this program because of how successful they've been, and the fact that there's really, outside of Blair Cherry during wartime, been four coaches, and they've all been Hall of Famers, and they've all won huge here. So they've never missed on someone, and we've never missed on
the
someone.
Pittsburgh Steelers of college
baseball.
That's
kind of what it is. You go, Chuck Noll, and you go, Cower, and you go,
Tomlin. They're all pretty damn good.
They've all been really good. You haven't missed on anyone. So Texas hasn't, and so it's fair for Texas fans to say, okay, well, you know, is Pierce the guy, and to kind of maybe hold that out a little bit longer than you would with other coaches. But, man, he has really proven something. He's got this program moving in the right direction.
I love the narrative, though, because, you know, he had that 2019 season where Texas struggled. They finished, what, last?
Were they close? Yeah, I mean,
the bottom of the conference.
It was a rough year.
And then I think that's what wins him this Coach of the Year award. I think a lot of people are seeing where he took the program from in 2019, when some people believed, oh no, he might not be the guy. We might have picked the wrong one. I remember those conversations.
Yeah.
And turns out, no, it was just that was an outlier.
And the coaching hire was bungled by the weird not really having an administration AD. So even if he's the right hire, I can understand Texas fans looking at the process and saying the process wasn't right. It got a bunch of people hired, and there are people that would have taken this job, but you lowballed it, so that's why they
didn't. That's true, too. Yeah, they were skeptical from the from the get-go.
I'm more mad at the administration. I've never been mad at David Pierce.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
And so I think that's kind of where they are. Now, that kind of, as he wins Coach of the Year in the Big 12, you talk about the biggest rival for Texas baseball throughout the years. That's been Texas A&M. Texas A&M has parted ways with Rob Childress. We mentioned that yesterday. Childress had been there for a long time. Never could really get over the hump. I really liked Rob and just liked covering anytime I was doing games, and Rob was part of it. He was just a really fun guy to talk to and a hell of a pitching coach. You know, he was back with Dave Van Horn at Nebraska. So it was a good hire for them. They probably hung on a little bit too long. But the guy to go get is the guy that I thought Texas was going to go get at some point, and that was Tim Tadlock, who's done an amazing job at Texas Tech, taking them to Omaha four times when the school had never gone there. And Kirby Hocutt jumped in and said, Rod, this is not going to happen. Gave him a lifetime deal.
Lifetime.
Tadlock agreed to a rolling seven-year contract. Ostensibly, that's going to keep him in charge of the Red Raiders for the rest of his career. So that is, you know, he tried to do that with
Chris Beard,
and it didn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
Beard left. He gets it done with Tadlock, and I was already hearing rumors that Tadlock was talking to Skip Johnson to see maybe if he would come down to College Station. If he's obviously the head coach in Norman, but if he's not happy there, and they are best friends. So I was thinking, oh, man, A&M's about to really get this thing rolling. And Kirby Hokut said, no, it's not going to happen. A lifetime deal. Can you imagine giving that to any coach?
Yeah.
Okay. If you're Tech baseball and you've never been, you've been four times.
He's the guy.
Right?
It's in the lifetime contract because Bill Self has one, right? Bill Self has a lifetime contract. Calipari,
I'm not sure.
I believe Calipari
John Calipari does.
I believe he does.
Bill Self does.
If not, then it's been discussed. If I'm wrong about that, I apologize because I didn't look it up. That's the top of that. But I know Bill Self actually does have the lifetime contract. I'm thinking about whether Calipari does. But either way, yeah, in college football, have we seen the lifetime contract yet?
No. I mean obviously the guy who should have got it is Nick Saban.
Nick Saban is the guy that deserves the lifetime deal.
Right.
I mean, if anybody deserves it, he should get the lifetime deal.
Darryl Royal didn't get one here. Different times, I understand, but Darryl Royal kind of got pushed out with Switzer and what they were building at Oklahoma.
No doubt. I'm trying to think. All time, of course, there are a ton of guys in retrospect
deserved
it.
Florida State.
Yeah, in retrospect, you look back and you go, oh, yeah, I would have given that guy a lifetime deal.
I would have given Jimmy Johnson one at Miami.
If you can keep Jimmy there, that'd have been great.
Keep the program alive.
You can keep Jimmy there, what Jimmy did.
Both those.
Osborne at Nebraska basically ended up with a lifetime.
Osborne,
he stayed there so long.
Osborne in Nebraska is a great
there
example.
So long.
I'll give you, and so it kind of.
I think right now, Lincoln Riley would deserve a life. I know I hate to say it to bring up a Sooner.
Hadn't won a playoff game yet.
Dude, but look at what he's done just early on.
I can see where you're going.
It's I don't know. I think if you're just, because it's a lifetime, marriage, theoretically, is a lifetime contract. So you can get out of these things, right? It might be intrusive and expensive.
I hope she's not listening.
It might be an inconvenience, but you can get out of a lifetime deal. I'm sure the institution and the agent negotiating the deal have little backdoor ways where they can get out of these lifetime deals if they want to.
Yes.
Just like marriage. Okay, so let's put that out on the table. But I will say,
we've got a lawyer at the station for all you men to help you out.
Exactly. I'm sure they do. I mean, there's no way Kirby Hokut didn't give himself an out somewhere in that lifetime deal. And I'm sure the agent smart enough to go, all right, you know what, just in case the fit hits the shan here, let's give ourselves a little out of this deal. So I'm sure if you look at the language somewhere, there's in there. But
yeah, what if Tadlock wants to take another job?
Exactly. He's only
what
thinking
if Texas
of,
is his ultimate
come
job?
On. Thank you. There's all types of situations that could arise.
So Lou Holtz is at Minnesota, and in his contract, he had one team, one school that was a free out that he could get out. It was Notre Dame, and Notre Dame came calling, and Minnesota's like, really?
That's my out, baby. I got my out.
You're here for a year?
Boom. That's what you need. So I'm sure there's one of those, right, in the contract or whatever. But I'll say this. If you're looking at it, because it's all about fit. It's all about – and you could argue this, because this is why I could be wrong about the Lincoln Riley Oklahoma thing. If you're a blue blood, there's no reason for you should ever sign a lifetime deal.
Yeah. Right.
Because you can always potentially – upgrade and get a younger, better version.
Has Leo DiCaprio gotten married yet? That's what you're talking about.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If you're a blue blood, you probably should never do it. That's why I could be wrong about I'd recognize the Lincoln Riley thing. So I'll recognize that. But if you're Iowa State and you got Matt Campbell right now.
Oh, lifetime deal.
Lifetime deal.
Lifetime deal.
Lifetime.
Brad Stevens.
Lifetime deal.
Lifetime. Mark Few.
There's some
deal.
Guys you can. Exactly. It goes boom. Because
we're talking Butler and Gonzaga.
Yeah, those types of. If you,
Gonzaga. Sorry.
Yeah, there you go. Boom.
Thank
you. John and that Northwest. I knew you were feeling me.
Think about, and I hate to say this, like Baylor and Matt Rhule. I was going to say Art Briles. Thank God I had another example.
I'll give you one. But, Scott Drew.
Yeah, exactly. Right? If you're Baylor in any of those situations.
Kim Mulkey. I don't want to hit a sore spot.
Baylor's really, and obviously to hire a good coach.
Baylor's almost, hired really well.
They've hired really well. And also to hire a good coach, I guess I bring up the marriage thing, but to pick really good in terms of your significant others, to have a good track record, you really have to know yourself. Like you have to know who you are.
Right.
If you're bad at picking, you know, significant others and bad at picking men or women, you just don't know yourself really well.
Totally agree.
As you get older, you know yourself like, no. Yeah, I know they're hot, but man, that'd be a disaster for me.
Right.
That's no way that'd work out for me.
It's why your interests really change from your 20s to 40s.
Exactly.
Like, the women I'm looking for now are completely different.
You start to learn yourself. And Baylor
well, not
knows.
Completely.
Well, you know yourself really
but
well,
upstairs,
though.
Upstairs.
Because there have been so many. Yeah, you've had so many different experiences now, and you've been smart enough to go, I learned from that. I'm getting some wisdom here as I grow older. But in terms of like Baylor's just, they know who they are as an institution. and they know what they want to be. I do say at times, Texas, we struggled, even though we're a blue blood. Of course, we got the money and the influence and affluence. But I think at times we struggle with what we want to be as a program.
Who am I?
Remember at times we didn't want to spend a lot of money. Now we're spending money. Now we got blank checkbooks and making it rain all over the
when
place.
They hired Pierce.
Yeah, right,
which
exactly.
Which turned out really good.
It worked out. We were pinching pennies. We were like, no. It was like, whoa, I thought we were making a lot of money. Where's all the money going? So we just didn't know where we want to be. Now we want to make it rain. Now we're going, that's the theme now. And I get that. CDC's bringing that in. That's why everybody loves it. So I think once you know who you are as a program, is you'll pick better coaches. And, you know, for Iowa State, you know, I think Iowa State did a good job. Matt Campbell's in that conversation. And it's not because Matt Campbell's better than, you know, Lincoln Riley, so he deserves it. But in terms of the situation, they're more in terms of compatibility, it's perfect if you're Iowa State. But Matt Campbell might go, no, I can do better.
Not doing that.
I can do better.
So Specs text line, 337-3776 is...
Mike Leach at Tech.
Yeah, exactly.
Tech should have did that.
Give us a coach.
Tech should have did it from the jump.
Any era that should have gotten a lifetime contract. Yep. We'll save you some time. John Wooden, Rod Dato, they're in there. Augie. Although Augie didn't really get one, but I mean, Augie at Cal State Fullerton, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We know who Cal State Fullerton is because of Augie Garrido.
Ooh, Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern.
Okay,
considering what Northwestern is. Right? Exactly. Considering what they are. Hell, Jim Harbaugh at Stanford, considering what they were. Now Jim Harbaugh, no. Hell no. Right. We're talking about at Stanford, though, yes. It worked. It was perfect.
Yeah.
Now, no.
No, but that would have worked at the time. I'll give you one. Speaking of Stanford, Bill Walsh with the 49ers.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And NFL contract. Teams.
I'd probably do Parcells with the Giants.
Oof, man. Yeah, I love me some Walsh. Walsh, I'd do it all day, every day. Yes.
And obviously Belichick.
But see, the thing with Belichick is now we're realizing it ain't just Belichick.
I know.
So would you do it with Belichick? Because unless Belichick wins this year, I don't know if I'd give him a lifetime deal unless you give me Brady with him.
But I say lifetime deal with the quarterback, right?
But see, Parcells did it without one
Walsh,
particular quarterback.
Bill Walsh
and
too.
Bill Walsh, you know, he was looking out for Steve Young. He saw the future. So those two guys, Parcells and Walsh, yes.
Yeah. And by the way, save the text. I'm a 49er fan. I understand that Young won his first one with George Seifert in 94, but that was Bill Walsh who brought him over
and was helping develop
him.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
So I will still give Bill Walsh some love on that. All right, so who are the coaches that deserved lifetime deals? Tim Tadlock gets a lifetime deal rolling over every 7 years.
I'll give Alex Gibbs one. Joe Gibbs.
Alex Gibbs is an offensive line coach. Yeah.
Joe Gibbs. But Joe Gibbs with Washington, think about it. Different quarterbacks, and you still went to multiple Super Bowls and won them.
Yep.
With different quarterbacks. That's a guy I'd give a lifetime deal to.
I don't think Texas has really ever had one.
Crazy.
I mean, you'd say any of the four baseball coaches. Barnes is the best basketball coach ever, but he got run out. Matt got run out.
Yeah.
EKR did. Those are your two best football coaches of all time.
Yeah, Texas, I don't know if we... It's rare to even have it. Dabo Sweeney, should he get one? Do you give Dabo one?
I mean, Clemson's never done this before. And maybe try and why is Hokut doing this? To keep him away from the other schools? And who you're trying to keep Dabo away from place he played if
Bama.
It's open?
Bama. When Nick Saban decides to hang it up.
So you're thinking, no, we're going to go ahead and keep Dabo.
I agree. I would do Dabo.
All right. We'll open that up to y'all if you've got anyone's, because Rod and I were talking about this today and we thought, God, a lifetime deal. Yeah, it is a good topic. And you think about guys that maybe
lifetime
deserve
deal.
That, or women. Like we said, Kim Mulkey would definitely be.
That's what marriage is, a lifetime contract.
It's a lifetime contract.
See, now you think it's crazy.
But one with some outs.
You think it's crazy. It's like, you got a lot of outs there. Getting some outs.
All right, so we did have Chad Hastings, where we're going to break here, who texted and said, first time ever, March 13th, I believe. First time with my wife, February 28th. I'm not sure if either of those women remember the date for the sex. Yeah. No. You know what? I don't think he's kidding with that. I honestly believe Chad remembers the first time he ever had sex and the first time
he ever had sex
with his wife.
He definitely does.
No outs in that one. All right, still plenty to come here on the Triple Option. We'll talk more college baseball coming up at 5 o'clock. Ty Harrington, the lifetime Longhorn, great legendary coach at Texas State, is going to join us. Just a fantastic guy. We're going to talk UT baseball, the Tadlock deal, and also just some other college sports because Ty is well-versed in all that. Give us a call, or actually give us a text, 512-337-3776. John Reichel sitting in. We appreciate that. Triple Option with plenty many more, including some NBA. Bucks ran away early. Dame and Joker go off, and the Mavs look to go up 2-0 tonight.
You got Bud Light.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out with Kevin Dunn. You can always hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man Kevin Dunn's at KevinDunn01. BK is not with us. He's taking a personal day, but you can cyberstalk him at Brad Kellner in the Twitterverse. It is the Bat Tuesday on the Triple Option. My man John back there twisting and tweaking the dials. And John is playing 80s jams. Right?
That's right, sir. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is not what you first think of 80s, but it was 80s.
It is not, but you're right. Yeah, I mean, technically, yeah.
87, Welcome to the Jungle, mm-hmm. And I wanted to do an intro to our musical journey with one of the best intros in music, think so. Like, the first 30 seconds is great.
This is a great song that you still hear at, like, half times and interludes of sporting events.
Because
it gets you so pumped up.
This was Jim Rome's theme song.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he talks about the jungle.
There you go. There's the jungle.
Yeah, no doubt. Should have got that. I didn't listen to Jim Rome enough.
I did back in the day. I thought
it was like one of those periods where I missed sports radio. What was his heyday?
Oh, man. Probably mid-90s to mid-2000s, around there.
Yeah.
It was a good product. I mean, it was a funny show.
No, that makes sense.
It probably still is.
Because that was kind of like the peak of my football time, so I wasn't into sports radio. I got into sports radio, listening in the car with my dad.
Gotcha.
To practice, and back and forth or whatever.
Like in high school?
Yeah. Before I started driving.
Gotcha.
All right. And then, of course, after I got done playing.
Right.
So that would have made sense.
Smart not to do it when you're playing.
Exactly. I wouldn't listen to that much when I'm playing. So I missed the heyday of it, and I think that's the Jim Rome
heyday.
That was kind of, that
it
makes
was a big
sense.
Deal. Yeah, actually, yeah. Produced locally one of his shows.
Did you really?
Yeah, I mean, I was just running the board.
Yeah.
And
he changed radio.
Yeah.
Forever.
He really did.
He's a pioneer.
A lot of stuff he brought to the game.
I studied sports radio for a while. Actually, I studied a little bit of Jim Rome. He's the real deal.
Have a take, don't suck. That's Jim Rome.
Have a take, don't suck.
But now we say all the time, what's your take on that? That's a bad take.
Still to this day, you're right. Don't suck. Everybody knows that.
Give the man some love.
And it's like part of Sports Radio 101.
It's a lexicon, yeah.
Have a take, don't suck.
Right.
No doubt. I don't know how we got into that conversation, but it was a good one. All right, let's get into another conversation that was even a better conversation. You had this idea, and it's a great one, KD, when we started talking about Texas Tech offering Tadlock the lifetime deal, and of course accepting the lifetime deal that Kirby Hokut offered him. And we got into what coaches in any sport are worthy of a lifetime contract.
Lifetime deal.
In the break, I thought of the one that we should have all thought about and we should be slapping ourselves. And if it's not on the Specs text line, John, let me know. Hopefully one of our listeners was smart enough, our watchers on Twitch are smart enough to come up with it. Eddie Reese. Eddie Reese gets the lifetime deal.
You thought I was going to hit myself.
Come on.
And of course, I said, I can't think of a Texas coach. Well, I obviously was keeping it too focused on certain sports, and I didn't expand.
Because I didn't think of it either. I mean, to the break.
Eddie Reese with Anson Dorrance, the North Carolina women's soccer coach, those two would be probably your top two in college sports.
In college sports.
Maybe ever.
Yeah.
You throw Wooden or Dato in there.
Yeah. See, if we jump off into women's basketball.
Geno.
I was just going to throw that out there.
Pat Summitt at Tennessee.
Pat Summitt.
And once again, getting back to the school you have, Kim Mulkey at Baylor.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right about that.
So three national championships at Baylor.
Yeah, if we start branching out, expanding our horizons a little bit, I think there are more coaches you can consider. All right. Let's see if we have someone to Specs text on a couple of these. All right.
We got a lot of Eddie Reese.
We did get Eddie Reese.
Yeah, we did get Eddie Reese, I was going to say.
Nice.
Yeah, one person on our text line saying Chris Everett.
No, that's about Chris Everett is the Jim Everett thing.
That was also
although Chris
legendary.
Everett, maybe a lifetime contract to be on the tour. She was that good of a tennis player.
Oh,
here's one that I agree with. Greg Popovich. We've got a lot of that.
Pop. Okay. So I don't want to hate on Pop. But think about this. No. There's a lot of similarities between Pop and Belichick.
Yeah.
Mm. What is Pop without Duncan? and without that big three, without Duncan and Ginobili and Tony Parker in a way, like, what is he, like, I would like to see, I know it's, I agree with you, by the way. I am just trying to be devil's advocate here. I would like to see Pop have a reinvention with another team. And it was supposed to happen with Kawhi, so I'm real upset because I get it, Spurs fans. But right, isn't there a Belichick feel to Pop?
Yeah. No, that, there is.
Well, Duncan, has he done it without Duncan? Was it the perfect storm, right? Was it just the perfect storm of circumstances?
But he won one without Duncan with Kawhi, right? I mean, without Duncan being at his prime.
Well, yeah, but
okay.
Still had Duncan and, Duncan and Kawhi.
All right. Like,
I agree with you, but I'm just saying.
But I feel like the big three were at their top, and he still
won. That's true. Oh, yeah, you could say that. That he did
now,
it with
if he
Kawhi,
does it without
Kawhi
all
as
them.
The center of the spear. Yeah.
If he does it without all of them, then it's a different deal. Saban's coming in. We get that. Here's one we should have thought of. Coach K and Duke.
Yeah.
I mean,
the fit is perfect fit.
Perfect fit.
In terms of compatibility.
That's the guy. We've gotten a lot of Bobby Bowden. We got one Bobby here Bowden. That is just, this is unfair. Tom Herman at Tarleton State, 5 years. So that'd be a five-year rollover.
Come on, man. You're taking shots at Tom Herman.
It says 5 years from now. I'm sorry.
5 years from now. Yeah, I guess he'd have been learned some things by then. Okay. No, we'll get into some more of that later on. I thought it was a good conversation, though.
It is, yeah. A lot of Eddie Reese, a lot of Nick Saban, and a lot of a lot of Popovich too. Someone said Mack Brown after 2005. Yeah, but that would defeat the purpose because you get to that lifetime deal in 2010, and where are you going to be?
You can make an argument that Mack Brown, because
I understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, depending on what he does at North Carolina, because he's doing a really good job with the Mack Brown 2.0, you will.
He's done a really good job.
He's done a really good job. And then there'll be an argument to be made that if he gets them like to the college football playoff, Sam Howell is probably going to be a first-round draft pick, if not the number one overall pick. There's consideration there. He could end up, you know, being in this conversation like, yeah, we made a mistake, that Mack was successfully able to reinvent himself, and that if he'd had the chance at Texas, he would have done it in lifetime deal
lifetime
for the College
deal.
Football Hall of Famer. In that case, then Bob Stoops gets it too.
Yeah.
If Mack would get the consideration, Bob Stoops definitely gets that consideration because Bob Stoops was a better coach than Mack Brown.
What about Gary Patterson at TCU or Schlossnagel at TCU? If we're considering the program.
If you're considering the program, yes. I agree with you on that.
Now, they changed neighborhoods to where they've got bigger
because
expectations.
Because of him.
Because of those guys.
Yeah, could you do better than Gary Patterson at TCU? I don't know.
I don't know.
That's why I say Mike Leach at Tech. I don't know if Tech.
They haven't so far.
They haven't so far. They thought Cliffy would do it, and Cliff wasn't. An upgrade. He just looked better. He's sexier, of course.
Well,
smells better, I'm sure.
Definitely looks better.
I don't know if he smells better. But
I think most women would sign off on that.
Yeah, but he's not a better coach.
No.
Even in the NFL, I don't know if he's a better coach.
All right, we'll get back to that. Let's get some NBA stuff
Let's do it.
All right, so last night we had two games. I'm going to bed way too early now, you know, to where.
You're old.
I know, and to where I had problems staying up for Blazers Nuggets, but I did watch Heat Bucks, but it didn't really matter because by the time we got out of here, this thing was over with.
Milwaukee
led 46-20 after the first quarter.
It was done.
Right. That's the most points scored, and it ties the most points scored for an NBA playoff game ever. They were red hot. Those were the Bucks that we talked about yesterday, Rod, that if they play like that, this team could be an NBA Finals team.
Playing with desperation, because I think the expectations have been really high. For them, it's either, to me, I think it's Finals or bust for the Bucks group, and it's going to be tough, of course, in the East with the Nets. But that's how high the expectations are because of what they've accomplished. But I'm with you. Miami is not going to be a formidable opponent. What they did in the bubble may have been a result of the bubble.
It was.
And the bizarre circumstances that they were dealing with.
That Miami team was just different. Tyler Hero was different. You almost compare those two.
Yep.
Miami, that Miami team and that Tyler Hero to this Miami team and this Tyler Hero, it's like, man, we're two different ball games.
Yeah, but when you have Tyler Hero hanging out with Instagram thoughts in Miami on the beach as opposed to sitting in a hotel room, isolated, secluded from everybody and having to focus on basketball, different Tyler Hero.
You're right.
Different Miami team.
It's working on my brand, Tyler Hero,
exactly.
Which has been one of the problems.
Yeah.
And then Blazers Nuggets, I did tape it, so I went back and watched the second half, and Dame was going off. This was fun. This was Dame and Joker back and forth.
Yep.
Man, I love Joker's game. And there's a lot of olds like us that have some issues with the NBA. And some of that is that stylistically, they have problems with Major League Baseball too. Stylistically, it's all to the same right now. Even though I would say with both those, it's pretty damn good stuff the style that we're seeing.
Yep.
But to see a guy like Joker,
he's a beast.
His feet doesn't get off the floor, and the way he plays,
yeah.
It was fun watching both those guys go back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, he's so fundamentally sound. He ain't the big fundamental, but
he's close. He's,
yeah, right.
He's close.
I don't want to disrespect the big fundamental because I already made Spurs fans mad. But I mean, he is. He's in that conversation. He became the third player in NBA history. All right, third player in NBA history to finish a season top five in total points, rebounds, and assists. Joining Wilt, who did it three times, and Elgin Baylor. So he is next level, man. In the series, he's averaging 36 points per game on 61% shooting in the series. And I got to tell you, I think that he's, you know, on his way to being a Hall of Fame. He probably can make an argument he's the MVP. I don't know if he's going to win it or not, but yeah, he's the reason. I mean, he had 38 points. Dame tried to match him with 32 points, had those 8 3-pointers in the first half. And then Aaron Gordon told the coaches, I got him. I want to guard Damian Lillard, 6'9 on 6'2. And then Damian Lillard had 1 3-pointer in the second half.
10 points, I think.
Yeah, 9 of 16 in this for 3-point range in the game, but only 1 3-pointer in the second half. That was after Aaron Gordon decided to take him defensively.
It's funny, we talked about smaller guys trying to guard Luka yesterday.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
This is Gordon, who I believe is like 6'9.
Yeah, he's
trying
long.
To guard Lillard, who's 6'2. And he was able to.
He was able to blanket him. And that's what Kawhi is going to try to do against Luka tonight. That's the game plan. Ty Lue said, no, you're going to get what you want. You're going to get Kawhi Leonard on Luka. That's going to be fun. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
That's on NBA TV, too?
I think that's NBA TV. We'll give you the schedule for that later.
That's crazy. I can't believe they allowed that to happen.
You got Lakers Suns, too.
Lakers Suns is going to be fun, but Luka should be on. Luka and Kawhi.
Luka and Kawhi should be
prime time.
Totally agree.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, no. I have some questions, kind of with timing, but then also where they're putting some of these games with the NBA. It's not as ridiculous as what Manfred has done with Major League Baseball in the playoffs. But you just kind of wonder. It's like, how much money are you getting for all this? Like, I mean,
yeah.
Both y'all are looking way up at the sport of football. Do everything you can to get this stuff showcased.
Showcase the superstars.
Because I'm maybe in the minority here. I think both are really strong right now. I think the NBA and
on the field
and on the court.
Good young talent.
It's really strong. We'll talk more NBA coming up at 6 o'clock. Up next, though, we get back to the Aaron Rodgers saga. He talked with Kenny Mayne and let us know some things. Welcome back, Triple Option with RB Katie. It is a Bat Tuesday, our sister station, always jamming the 80s music. It's all good. Not all good, but even the stuff I don't like, I think is good. But this one you recognize, right, Rod?
Yeah, I do. Is this Phil Collins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. Phil Collins and Philip Bailey.
Nice. Yeah, I don't know the name of the song, but I do recognize the song. I like that. Easy Lover?
Easy Lover.
I like it.
You got it.
Well, yeah. Hear it in the chorus.
Well, yeah, I know. But you got the Phil Collins part, which I think is impressive. So,
But he's got a distinct sound.
He does.
Yeah. And a distinct, like, this voice and everything.
Yeah, I think if you and I get it, then it probably tells you that it's a pretty distinct voice.
Yeah, because we're not good at Guess That Tune, which is basically
what we end up
playing on the show. We're terrible at it. We know it, but we're too old and we don't have the recall. Craig Way is good at stuff like that because Craig Way's recall is like lightning quick.
On a lot of different things.
And then
we got recall, but not on music, man.
No,
not at all.
Not on music. You're right. You got sports recall.
But
I know
with movie and music, and that's where Craig will jump in.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
All of a sudden you heard like Chad's music recall
is really good too.
To be fair, Craig Way's recall on practically everything is nearly terrifying. Like he'll like for
it
geography,
that's
it's like,
what
oh,
I
love that
to.
Town, you
right.
know, the exit, yeah. that one burger place, Luann,
exactly.
she runs there. I'm like, how can you know that?
How can you know that?
Most of us have recall on certain things, but it's not that.
Craig Way has recall rabbit, what I call recall Global. Rabbit holes. When I worked with him for like 5 years, recall rabbit holes. You just ask him about, you know, a certain road in a certain town, and he'll start talking about the diner and the family that lives there and the mascot of the middle school. And you'd be like, what the hell?
Yeah.
He's a freak.
Go talk to Jethro. He's on the corner of Maine.
Tell him I said hi if you're in town.
Are you kidding me? I almost called Craig on the way back because we hit like, you know, maybe going to take an alternate route. And I thought, well, I know the guy to call.
You know the guy. Oh, yeah. If you're lost, everybody knows. Everybody. I wonder how many calls he gets from members of media when they're lost somewhere and they call Craig.
I wouldn't even go on the phone. I trust him more than her.
I trust Craig more
than
she's
a computer.
Any GPS that anybody has, I'll trust Craig about that. Agreed.
Well, Aaron Rodgers doesn't really trust Green Bay, and that's been pretty obvious. He was on SportsCenter today, actually, with Kenny Mayne. It was Kenny Mayne's last SportsCenter.
I know.
So here's the deal.
That's
I respect Kenny Mayne. I think he's really talented. He was never really my cup of tea, but he was really good.
Yeah, you need a different point of view every now and then.
I can see why he was as popular as he was.
Yeah,
may be too mature of a take for sports radio there. That no, he's not really my style, but he's talented.
He's kind of what Pete Davidson is to SNL, right? You don't see him that often, but when you do see him, it stands out, and not everybody loves it. But
I'm not sure you'd take that as a compliment, but I think it's on point.
But, sometimes you'll listen to Pete Davidson and go, that was really funny. I didn't expect to laugh at that. That was pretty good.
Yeah, and Kenny Mayne definitely did some funny stuff.
He did funny stuff. You'd laugh and be entertained.
But they're definitely...
There's some swings and misses, though.
There are. And they're lower in the market at ESPN. I mean, you can tell ESPN is kind of changing how they're paying people. So he was one of those people that got squeezed out of there, and he had his last one. So he obviously called some people. He knows a lot of people and got Aaron Rodgers. Man, I wonder if Pat McAfee's mad about this. McAfee had him on his show every single week, but Rodgers definitely made some news as he appeared on SportsCenter, and Kenny Mayne asked him. He said, kind of, what's going on? Why are you holding out? What's going on with that? And he said, with my situation, look, it's never been about the draft pick, picking Jordan. I love Jordan. He's a great kid. We've had a lot of fun working together. Love the coaching staff. Love my teammates. Love the fan base.
Love.
An incredible 16 years. And then you knew a butt was coming. It's just kind of about philosophy and maybe forgetting that it's about the people that make the thing go. It's about character. It's about culture. It's about doing things the right way. Man, this was, for me, pretty vague, Rod. And, he did go on to say... that once he won the MVP, that things kind of changed.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, when I hear that, then if you're happy with everything, how did you winning the MVP change? Because it does seem like that would go back to the Jordan Love pick, does it not? Because you outperformed what they thought you were doing, then are you not happy with the culture and the philosophy and where they're going? Or you're still not really happy that they took a quarterback in the first round and you proved that you're still the best quarterback in football?
Yeah, it's semantics.
Yeah.
Because what he would say is, it's not the Jordan Love pick that I'm upset with. It's the way it was handled.
Yeah.
I guarantee if you're talking to him, just me psychoanalyzing him, my Blackman Freud impression here, I think he would say he's mad. So he wanted them to call him, ask him about the pick before they made it, or tell him they were going to make the pick. Same thing that Deshaun Watson was mad about in regards to the DeAndre Hopkins trade, and also the hiring of their GM Nick Caserio. Without ever telling him, he learns on SportsCenter who his new boss is.
Yeah.
Right? They would like that common courtesy.
But it's still about the pick.
It's still about the pick, but he would say, oh, if they'd have told me about the pick, then I wouldn't be mad about the pick. But we go, well, you're still mad about the pick, though.
Right.
Yeah. So I think it's more semantics what we're arguing about here, but that's why he talks about, maybe one that ran about people. He said, I think sometimes people forget what really makes an organization. History is important, legacy of so many people who've come before you, but the people, that's the most important thing. People make an organization, people make a business. Sometimes that gets forgotten, I should say. And culture is built brick by brick, and the foundation
brick by brick
of it by the people, not by the organization, not by the building, not by the corporation. It's built by the people. So he was about they're basically becoming structured where the organization won't do the thing that should be considered a common courtesy, which is to alert the face of their franchise of some of these very organizational altering moves that they're making, like drafting a future franchise quarterback and things. He went, I think he's talking about like the quarterback coach and some of those other things too. Remember the wide receiver there was released that he really liked? I forget the guy's name.
Yeah, he was pissed about that.
He was mad about that. So, right? People. So he wants better communication. This is a power grab. This is a power play.
No doubt.
He wants more power. In the end, if he does end up playing with the Packers, he will be the most powerful figure in the organization. Not the GM, not the head coach. That's what he wants. And right now with the Packers, you know how they've always worked. It's a hierarchy. It's about the GM and then the head coach, and that's how they work. They don't even have a boss, right? They have a board, and they're owned by the community. They're owned by the fans. They're only organization that works that way. And Aaron Rodgers saying, no, I want to be the dictator. I want to run this thing. I want it to be my show. Meaning, I get to veto stuff that I don't like, and I get to say, I disagree with that, and that will influence the organization and the message and the narrative.
I think you're 100% on here, and I think this is a power grab. And I think he's probably looking around at different landscapes, specifically in the NBA. But hell, you could even look at Major League Baseball and maybe some other people in the NFL and thinking, I've earned this,
yep.
And other people have it.
Bing, ding, ding, ding.
Why don't I have it?
Yep.
I've earned this.
Yep.
And if you do compare and contrast, you could say, well, he's actually earned it more than some of these other people we're talking about.
Yeah, why is Patrick Mahomes getting it?
Right.
I should get it.
I should get it.
I get it. I've done as much as Patrick Mahomes. Why don't I get it? I agree.
How come he was able to select Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Or at least gave you that nugget.
At least they called him.
And you took him.
Yeah, you took him. And then Tom Brady goes to Tampa and says, hey, I want Antonio Brown. And they pick up Antonio Brown.
And they got him.
And I want my boy Gronk here. And they pick up Gronk.
Yeah. And don't forget the whole Brady thing. They had come out, I think Arians, but also the GM, but certainly Arians had come out and said, we're not going to do that with Brown.
Yeah.
And a month later, it was like, we're doing it. Well, we made some change. We had different philosophy.
Tom struggled.
We sat on it.
Tom struggled a little bit. And they're like, yeah, let's do that.
Let's go ahead and get that done.
He's not happy. We want him happy. Happy wife, happy life. That's your quarterback situation. Remember it.
This man is getting ready for marriage.
I am.
I think you're going to be
okay. Unfortunately
for
all of us.
We got 1 hour down. We got 3 hours to go. BK taking a personal day. It's Rod and Katie, and we got John Reichel helping us out and playing some good Bat Tuesday stuff. Up next, we'll talk a little Texas football. The NIL easily passes. And also, we got some Big 12 strength of schedules to get to. This is The Horn.